coming to Northeast Wisconsin live from the Civic Media Studios at the City Deck Landing in Green Bay and featuring TV and radio broadcast veteran John Mino, along with the City of Green Bay's longest serving mayor, Jim Schmidt. This is Mino and the Mayor. Here are your hosts, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Good morning. Happy Friday to you.
Finally.
Yes. Where's my headphones here? Oh. We're going here. Hello.
There you go.
I like them loud.
Yeah, I've
whenever anybody uses my headphones afterwards and I've got them turned up to where they are,
right.
It's always like, rah!
Yeah, you do like it loud. But
I think I'm a little bit hard of hearing sometimes.
Maybe. Wearing headphones for 40 years, that could do it.
Yes. Yes, and Todd, is everybody servers in that radio people from having loud headphones in your ears for 40 years?
That and tinnitus and all that stuff we get, don't we?
Yeah, it's crazy. You wouldn't think a job like this would, you know, do anything to a person physically, but in some ways...
look at us.
Although I like my new hoodie thing.
That is nice.
That is sweet. Where'd you get that?
The Auto Gallery.
Remember,
Daryl brought it in that day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Aren't they sharp?
Yeah.
It's got a Jaguar on the front.
I know. That's cool.
I like this. I feel like a Formula One guy or something.
Okay.
You know, like a French Foreign One. You know what I mean? Formula One guy.
Something. It's like a little kid who takes a towel or a blanket and wraps it around him like a cape.
Pretty much the same thing. Same thing.
But
same
a very popular book years and years ago was Dress for Success.
Yeah, I remember that.
Right? And what you wear. So you are probably going to have another great show because of that red.
Well, there was always the thing, a red tie. I had a guy that I used to work with who was just like full of it. And he always used to say, you know.
In radio?
No, it wasn't actually in radio. It's in different business. And he'd always say, yeah, on the power days, you wear red.
Right.
And it's like, okay, that's from about 1978 when that came out. I think everybody gets it now, you know. Yeah.
Didn't we have a guy that we worked for that if he was going to fire somebody, he'd wear a red tie?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. True story. Absolute 100% true story. So we got to talk about something.
What?
Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, geez. John, are you talking about the vice president candidate?
Well, that and the thing about Sandy Hook.
Did you see that? No, somebody told me that last night. Yeah. I went out last night, and somebody mentioned it to me, and I'm like, I'm not in the loop on that.
So a CNN reporter is saying that at the Kentucky Derby in 2013, when she was introduced to him at an after-race party type thing and found out she was a reporter, he went off on her on about how the media isn't covering the real story with Sandy Hook, that it was a government job, and there are government agents dressed in black in the woods around there. And that the kids were actors and the parents were actors and everything like that.
That's unbelievable.
I know.
That one crazy guy got fined $1 billion, right? The radio guy.
Alex Jones.
Yeah.
But anyway, CNN, you know, standing by it. And another person who's remaining anonymous saying the same thing happened in a different place. But this person's afraid to come out because that other reporter has received so much harassment for even saying something like that. So, okay, as disgusting as it sounds, I understand whatever said is, yada, yada, yada. And I'm not disclaiming anything, you know, but I'm just saying, okay. But here's what I'm saying. Aaron Rodgers, you can be in sports, and you can talk some crazy bleep, and people are just like, he's crazy, he's another crazy sports guy, but he's, boy, what a great arm, yada, yada. When your name is affiliated in politics... Yeah. Jim Schmidt, you tell me, is that a different world you're going into not?
And at that level, they're going to dig really
deep.
That's
what I mean.
Really deep. They're going to spend money to get intel, like a lot of money. What was I just, even that guy who was running against Biden paid that guy $250,000 as a consultant. But you get up to that VP level. Rodgers is a little, what did Mark Murphy say? He's a complicated fella.
Yeah.
They are going to dig really deep.
That's what I'm saying.
Like where he was, where he spent, they're going to get
expensive.
Whereas
if he was just in sports, it wouldn't be that way.
And then people will say, well, he went here. What did he get? Well, I really can't give you that. They'll get it. They'll find a way to get it, Johnny, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
They'll pay people. They will dig very deep. Yeah, he's exposing himself that he might look back and say, that was
dumb to even be affiliated.
Right. Why did I say that?
I know. But,
and that's just a small example. He made a comment.
That's
to a
what
lady,
I'm trying to say here. Yep.
And people are going to say, hey, he said this to me. They're going to call. I got some information for you.
Right.
And some people might do it because they don't like him or Kennedy, but some people will do it for money. And I'm telling you that when I saw his name on there, I almost thought it was like, you know, I can't believe that. But then knowing him, knowing, you know, Kennedy's, you know, this is his life preserver. If he's not going to win, but he is. And the problem with those two guys is Kennedy's a little bit of a conspiracy theorist anyway, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so Rogers, who thinks he knows everything about COVID.
Right,
and,
right.
And he said some crazy stuff about COVID, too.
I know.
That's all going to get exposed.
And that's what I'm saying. You can do that stuff when you're in sports, and it's just sports writers kind of like whatever, whatever. But when you throw your hat into a political thing, right. I don't know if he's even thrown it in, but he hasn't said no yet either. Right. So, I mean, it's just like, oh, boy, Aaron, are you going into a different realm?
What he should have done, and I far be it for me to advise him, but he should have right away, if he wasn't interested, said right away, look, I have zero interest in this, because then they would have let him alone. But now everybody's
That's exactly what I'm getting at.
They're circling the wagons right now.
That's exactly what I'm
like
getting
today.
At. Yes. So
even if he does say no, some stuff's going to come out that he wished didn't. Yeah. And rumors, too, get kind of.
No question. No question.
Yeah, I don't think this is going to sit real well with the New Yorkers.
Yeah.
They're paying this guy a gazillion dollars to play football. And I got frustrated sometimes when I would see these guys on all these commercials. I'm like, come on, just focus on the field. Can you imagine dabbling in politics?
I remember you got
that level?
Upset at a Packer. You asked me one time back in the day, you said, and I won't say his name, but you're like, you know, he's at everything, which is kind of a good thing, but it's like, this is the middle of the season, and you got the Vikings coming up. Shouldn't he be? Remember that? I won't say the name, because he's a really good guy, but I remember you even said, maybe you should focus a little more on football here during the season.
And I think we weren't winning every game back then. And if you're winning, you can get, but it makes up for a lot of sins.
Yes.
But, man.
Yeah.
So anyway, I just think, I don't know what his contract was in New York, but I don't think that's going to sit very well. But whatever.
But anyway, I just want to get that out there.
And I think, you know, he loves that spotlight, though, so he's probably enjoying this for a little while. Yes?
All I'm saying is when you're in politics, the glare is a lot harsher than when you're in sports. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I mean, sports is win or lose a football game, and it doesn't affect anybody's lives. Politics can affect people's lives. For the people, and again, I'm not one of those people that would even want to get into that, but God bless those people that do, but it's a whole different animal these days.
And I just, you know, we can move on, but I just want to say that there's stuff that I don't know that he's lived a perfect life. But if he did something that wasn't right with a girl or somebody, that's going to come out.
Yeah.
And like that happened to the Supreme Court, and people will make stuff up just to get their attention, right? To sell their book. So, yeah, I think he's really opening himself up to stuff.
I do
but
too.
I don't know. I don't even know how he. I can't believe Kennedy, with 300 million people, that he would pick Aaron Rodgers to be his VP.
And I guess they're buddies.
Really?
Yeah.
And then it kind of tells you what kind of class he's looking for, because his other potential candidate is Jesse Ventura.
I didn't even know he was still alive. I mean, he seems to be, he's been so out of the spotlight.
Yeah. Oh, but it was all about him when he was governor.
I interviewed him one time.
Did you?
Actually, you know what? I did a story on him, a full story. Back before ESPN had a lot of correspondence, I was like ESPN's Green Bay correspondent. Okay.
Yeah.
And they asked me to do a story on Jesse the Body Ventura. Mm-hmm. This would be 1988 or 89. And because he was color commentator for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
Really? I didn't know that.
But he hadn't been governor yet.
No.
So he was the former Jesse the Body, still a big-time wrestler. Mm-hmm. And he was hired. He did color commentary on the radio broadcast for Tampa Bay. And they asked me if I would do a story on him, you know, in the booth and the whole thing. And we actually picked him up at the airport with Jesse. And you know what I was talking to him about? Yeah, this is a true story. What I was talking to him about was his military experience. And he was telling me he's kind of a Navy SEAL and stuff like that. Right, and going up. But I don't even know if it was called Navy SEALs at the time. But I got to know him pretty well, believe it or not. Then he ran for governor a few years later and, you know, whatever. Got a thing here from Josh says, regards to Aaron Rodgers saying, this coming from him saying that the Jets need to stay away from distractions in the offseason. You know, that's
kind of what...
You know what that reminds me of? I remember Troy Aikman telling a story one time after they won, like, their second Super Bowl. And all these guys got commercials and everything. And Jimmy Johnson comes in, and first meeting, he's like, let me tell you something now. We're going to concentrate on football. I am so sick and tired of seeing you guys on commercials. The distractions, what's more important to you? Doing commercials and going on these shows or playing football. I want to know. And Troy Aikman says, coming from the guy who did more commercials on season than anybody in all of football. Same type of thing.
And yeah.
Yep. So, I know. But anyway, I got another one here. Great time.
At the Tarleton.
At Tarleton. Wayne the Train Hancock Wayne the Train Hancock. Okay, what a nice setup. Reminds me of the old Carlton with the booths.
Yeah, that is a great venue. Smaller than the Carlton, but a nice venue with the booths, the tables, and the seating, and great sight lines.
Yes.
Yeah, that's, I don't, do we know what that is? Wayne the Train Hancock? Do we have
that? No, I don't.
Okay.
Do we know that one, Todd?
I don't, but apparently somebody was performing last night.
Okay,
so somebody went to see him.
Yeah, I just kind of music that was.
But, awesome.
I mean, he has quite a variety there. And really, just to Google the Tarleton downtown, and he's got stuff every weekend, and it's not that expensive, which I think is awesome.
Where did I see someplace that Marshall Tucker is coming around here?
Right.
Oh, I love Marshall Tucker.
Yeah.
I'm going to be leaving at the break of dawn.
Well,
wish you could come, but don't need the woman tagging along.
Now, you know what? I went to pick up my tickets. They have that Women in Country at the Meyer Theater tonight.
Oh, okay.
So,
you going to that?
No. I'm picking up some tickets for a friend of mine. And it was her birthday, so I'll buy the ticket, and then her friends can pay for the other ones. But anyway, so I went there, and your birthday is coming up. As a matter of fact, it's Sunday. I know it is, March 17th. You've been telling me that for months. And I was going to get you tickets to Barry Manilow. Because you curled up on the couch and watched it, you know, and then you told people about it. So I thought, well, this guy really must like Barry
Manilow. Which I regret.
Yeah, I would have never done that.
I regret that.
Johnny,
not even a question in my mind. Of all things that's on the show,
so
the fact that I curled up my couch with a blanket and watched Barry Manilow for Christmas special
is
the thing. If I go back in time, I'd take back from this entire show.
Yeah, that, and I just can't get that out of my head.
I know, and you won't let that go. You won't let that go. That could have been a one-time thing, Jim. That could have been a one-time thing I mentioned. You said, oh, okay, well, okay, whatever. I didn't know you're into Barry Manilow. That's cool. You know, everybody. I don't want to judge people. Or do whoever, like whoever you're like. And move on.
Yeah, but no, people say to me, how's it working with John Minor? I'm like, did you know?
Great guy, but did you know?
Did you know?
Right.
So, yeah, me too, sports guy, but don't curled up with an Afghan. Just, yeah. Anyway, Johnny,
I love Afghans, though.
$250 for per ticket.
For Barry Manilow?
Yeah, and it wasn't that great of a seat.
$250?
And basically he's saying he doesn't like you that much as a friend.
No.
And I was driving back. That is what it cost us to feed 150 people at the homeless shelter. And it's just like maybe 2 years ago, but now I just like I couldn't do it.
Oh my God. Anyway. Well, thanks anyway.
But
his British hit CD. Mind the mirror. We got a full lineup coming up, folks. Stay with us. Back after us. One of the all-time great songs. One of the absolute all-time great songs.
Almost doesn't fit into a category.
Because
it's a little country, a little southern rock.
Exactly.
Little adult contemporary.
Exactly. One of the all-time great songs, Marshall Tucker Band. And does anybody know, I swear I saw that somewhere where they're coming to the area. And I can't think of who they're with. It was an old name. But it was like from that era too of them. Were you a Marshall Tucker fan, Jim?
Yep. I would. That's great music.
If they come around, I am at that concert. That's not even a question.
All right. If it's cheaper than $200,
would you buy me that for my birthday?
it's not your birthday yet. So
I thought the tater tots you made for me the other day was a pretty good birthday.
They were so good.
Weren't they good?
I brought some last night or yesterday.
Weren't they delicious, Todd?
I have to say this. I want the name changed, though.
What?
Yeah.
I want them to be called tater tot casseroles. Can we do that?
Tater tot casserole. It was more of a casserole than just the tater tots.
It was.
It was fantastic. Did you make that?
Those students that were here, right?
Wow.
That was served it at the shelter.
Bring those kids back.
No question. That was so delicious.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you like that. Hey, that Marshall Tucker, if somebody can find I would. It's your
that
birthday
would be a great
Sunday,
one
I'll
to go
tickets
to.
For that.
Yes.
But, yeah.
All right. Let's do it. Let's work on that. We need somebody to help us out on that. We got Nicole Stockman coming up in a few minutes. Veteran Services Coordinator, UW Green Bay. Mark Hewson, Bell and Sports Medicine, got a lot to talk about with him. 7:34, we've got the debut of the new game show, Are You Smarter Than a Former Mayor? We're going to have some people win some stuff with that.
How do you know that? Well, wait, you're making an assumption. How do you know they're going to win?
We got some people that are going to win some stuff on that.
I think you're right.
You know what? Christy's under the weather today. She's got like, she's got all the crud that we've all had in this place over the last month. But Dennis Peters from the Glam Band will be here. He'll handle the weekend what's up, and then he'll have live studio music guests, Colin and Caleb from Take Two, Avenue 55. They'll be right here with us and hopefully perform just like we had Eric last week, huh?
Yeah, as Take Two, they're an acoustic duo, so they're going to kind of bring their guitars in and do some of the songs that they do as a duo.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Fantastic.
And they're brothers. And they're brothers, too, so that's great. Cool. And big beards. They've got great beards.
Oh, you
got
to like guys and musicians with big beards. Yeah. You just got to. Okay, something I asked you a couple of weeks ago after going to the Garth Brooks tribute, which again, I would give it 5 stars if there's five-star category. The fiddle player, okay, in the band. So is, like, if you took a violin and handed it to...
No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Is a violin and a fiddle the exact same instrument?
Well, that guy said, yeah, I thought you were going to say, could you... Because that was an electric violin, right, that he was playing.
I guess,
was,
yeah.
It was chords hanging down and went through the system. What's the question?
A violin the exact same musical instrument as a fiddle?
I think when we talked about the Marshall Tucker Band and the Devil Went Down to Georgia, I thought the guy said yes. I did not play that.
Yeah. I did look it up.
My sister played it.
Exact same instrument. It's just in the way it's played.
Wow! Okay.
Kind of like... You know, those Tennessee guys or Kentucky guys like bourbon, and that's kind of the same as other stuff, but they got their own brand. Yeah. And I don't think you would, if you went to the symphony, say, look at my fiddle. you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You say, look at my violin.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're with the.
But like if you're a young guy, at least in my era, and you said, well, I'm taking violin lessons.
Right.
Like,
that's a perfect example.
But now if it's like I'm taking fiddle lessons, it's like, oh, is that ever cool?
That's cool, man. And
you're
the star of the show on St. Patty's Day.
Right. I love fiddle. I'll take anything with fiddles.
Well, you got the bagpipe, the fiddle. You got
a
lot.
There's a lot of instruments. I don't know much about it. I like steel guitars.
Yeah.
Love steel guitars. My dad actually played steel guitar a little bit.
That's a cool instrument.
Yeah.
I don't think, but there's not a lot of steel. Like, I don't even know.
There's some bands that still use steel guitars, aren't there? Not some country bands.
Even some of the new ones will throw it in once in a while.
Yeah,
I don't think there's a better sound than steel guitar.
I don't either.
Song.
I don't either. I think it's fantastic.
But anyway, this thing at the Meyer and Matt's coming. Is Matt coming on, Gable? Not today, but we reached out to him.
I'm sure,
he's the guy that runs the Meyer Theater. And when he's in here, I want to talk to him. They do touch a lot of different markets.
Absolutely,
comedians and then
Generals.
Stuff for like 60-year-olds, and then they have things that are, you know, younger and stuff geared toward more women. And he just does a great job.
The variety is phenomenal.
And that's what keeps
him
going.
And how many shows do they do a year? Because every time, I drive by it almost every day, there's always something new on the marquee.
Right, yeah. And the dates, and they're all very
coming up.
So, yeah, that's
cool. I enjoyed being there the other night. The only thing is, I would put 2 bartenders.
I think we've beat that horse.
We beat that horse everywhere we go. If we're going someplace, people, you better have more than 1 bartender because we'll complain.
Yeah, and maybe once in a while on the price. But I was telling John last night, I got together with some college friends and we.
Oh, by the way, let me just, before we forget, Dr. Chan, I watched that last night.
Oh, I didn't.
Ben Chan, he got beat.
Yeah, I know.
But he had the final Jeopardy right. He just didn't, the other guy just bid a lot more and he got it right. And so now each one of them has won 1 game.
Really?
So yeah, so this was a new. Yeah, this is a different guy that won. So nobody's got 2 wins.
So he's not done.
He's not done. And then today, it's on at 3:30 today, Jeopardy is. It's on at 3:30 because the high school basketball tournament is on.
The front page of the paper says Chan didn't win on Jeopardy, but the Bratzuka sure did.
Okay.
He talked about shooting out the brats at the basketball game.
Yeah. But what? Okay. But he's on again today.
That's awesome.
I know that for a fact. At 3:30 today.
Okay.
Come on, Dr. Chan. We want you to win.
Come on, Ben.
All right. We're with you, Ben.
Yes.
All right. That's cool. No, I did not see that. But
okay.
That other guy just it was.
Ben, if you're listening, please text Todd. Do you have your text number, Todd?
Download the Civic Media app and just text me that way.
Yes. Yeah. And everybody. And so many people follow him. I don't think
he knows.
Crazy. That's why I told you I want to be his agent for 10%, not 4%. But everybody's talking about this at the shelter. We're talking about him, and we have this celebrity server. You know, we do meals every night at 5 o'clock, and we like to bring in celebrity servers. And they're like, oh my God, if you could get him.
I bet he would do it in a heartbeat.
He's just a super nice guy.
Oh my gosh.
I said, I think.
We had wonderful people come through, but he seems like, Dr. Chan, would you mind coming serving at the home? I think he'd be like, oh my gosh, absolutely. Not even a question.
And that would just be fun. It'd be fun for the staff. It'd be great.
That'd
for
be great.
The 150 people that come through there.
Who would they rather have, Dr. Chan or me?
Oh, I don't know. It's your birthday coming up. I don't know, John.
Okay,
I have to think about it.
All right.
Yeah.
How long are you going to think about it?
And that guest we had on yesterday from Channel 2, she said her and her husband. Aisha
Morales. Wasn't she great?
Yeah, she said we'd love to come and do that. So I'm going to get them set up for it later. But it's just nice to feature some people.
You've never asked me?
Oh, look at the
time. I mean, I don't know for sure, but it almost seems like he's saying you're not big enough.
You get that too. I'm like after three people, Jim, I've got strep. Oh, Jim, I can't come in. I got so-and-so. Jim, I got Mino, hey, we would love to have you serve. We would
the
people,
guy.
You know what the people are saying? They're saying, why don't you ever get Mino here?
Yeah, what are you doing in 10 minutes?
Am I your second choice? No. You're fourth. We got Nicole Stockman coming up, Veteran Service Coordinator, UW Green Bay, Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine. Are you smarter than a former mayor? Dennis Peters, what's up? Along with some live musical guests. We got a full Friday morning for you folks. Stay with us. Back after this. Rainy day warmer. That woman of mine, she ain't happy. Till she finds something wrong and someone to blame. If it ain't one thing, it's another one on the way. Woke up this morning to the sunshine. Sure as hell looks just like rain. I know where to go on a cloudy day. Oh, rainy day woman. I never...
Take Mino and the Mayor with you anywhere. Download the Civic Media app today from the Apple Store or Google Play Store and text the studio directly, all from the Civic Media app. Download it today. Now, once again, here's Mino and the Mayor, John Mino and Jim Schmidt.
Hey, thank you very much. Welcome back, Mino and the Mayor, here on a good-looking Friday morning. 30 degrees in Green Bay, 32 in Appleton, 31 in Oshkosh. Marshall Tucker.
Was it?
April 17th, it's the middle of the week, Wednesday, Pablo Center in Eau Claire. Well, that's Eau Claire. Then Saturday, May 25th, Marshall Tucker at Ho-Chunk Casino in Wisconsin Dells with Jefferson Starship. Boy, wow. Is that a throwback concert. I would do that. I would go to that.
You'll have to drive because it's in the Dells. I don't have good luck driving back and forth to the Dells.
Really?
That has not been good to me. So.
Sure.
Is there a story about that you want
to
share?
I was about to ask that as well.
We got Nicole Stockman in house today. So, that is just, okay, just in my defense of me, and I watched this morning at 1:30. There's a town.
You're up at 1:30.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't sleep for the night. All right. There's a lot of small towns you go through the way John told me to go. Like, we didn't take, like...
Oh, my Lord.
So you're following John's direction.
Okay. Anybody that knows me, that says they would use me as the navigator, know me well enough just in general to know I'm the last human being in America to depend on as a navigator to get literally from here to the other side of town even.
But we had the Google on, and... They give you two or three different routes, and I like highways, you know, four lanes. We're going to six lanes on 41.
Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
But John gives this route, and we go through all these little towns that you'd never heard of, and got clipped a couple
They've
times.
They've heard of you now.
I got clipped a couple times.
And you probably
times.
Have to drive 25 miles an hour through the town.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, and it's straight. There's
like
nobody
eight
there.
Stop signs.
And there's nobody there. And
eight? There was like one.
What? No,
it's just one.
You got to find this. It's this little town. Oh, I can't think of the name of it. In, they make 90% of their revenue, 90, through giving out speeding tickets. And they're being taken to court because it's like crazy. They get like, and get this, the mayor is the judge.
Oh, that sounds like from like the Andy Griffith Show.
No,
it's a good setup.
The town only has like 250 people. Comparable towns, their budgets are like, 200,000, 300,000. These guys, their revenue is 1.2 million.
Wow.
90% though. I mean, that's crazy. You look at property taxes, you look at, you know, other things that you can charge fees on. 90% comes through speeding tickets, and people are like, this is, everybody gets a ticket, and then you go to court and it's the mayor and the judge. And so they're talking about, you know, conflict of interest and it, but he's like, hey, look, the law is the law. And anyway, that was a great story I saw this morning. And I was thinking of,
is it Wisconsin?
I was thinking of me.
I know. I'm thinking of you too. Totally.
No, it's
thinking
in,
of you.
Louisiana.
Okay. Oh, I could, that sounds like a Southern thing.
It does. Yeah, totally.
Totally.
Well, we weren't too far from those Southern things in those two towns we got clipped.
Yeah,
from.
They were rewritten. I mean, never heard of the cities. Flags and things. Right. And it's like, yeah, I agree with you on that one.
Anyway.
Hi, Nicole,
welcome.
How are you?
Hi. I'm doing great. How are you guys?
I'm doing great. What is going on with the Veteran Services Coordination aspect at UW Green Bay? I know you always have things going on. And you guys did a really nice ceremony one night for Veterans Appreciation Night at the basketball game.
We did.
Really nice.
I have a really great relationship with the athletic department over there, and they support our veteran population, and we interact, you know, on a regular basis. So
You've been there 2 years as the veterans coordinator, and I was reading, I'm surprised how many veterans you have at your university.
Yes. We have a little over 1,100 right now.
Wow.
Yes. That's like close to what? 20. How big is your school?
Ten percent.
Wow. Yes. So 10% of the population over there.
That's awesome.
And that's drilling, active duty, veterans, independent. So spouses and children of veterans.
That's fantastic. That's awesome. Yeah. What are some of the things you try to strive to with them? And I know Elena used to be there and did a great job, and I worked with her in so many projects.
Yeah.
And you picked up the mantle and have continued to carry that on.
Yes. And Elena was amazing, and she developed the program from scratch.
Yep.
So what we do with them is they're entitled to benefit. So depending on what benefit they're under, they'll come to the school and say, hey, how do I apply? What's the process? How do we implement the benefit to go to school and be successful as a student?
And there are some really, we had John Kramer in here the other day, and John's an Iraq war vet and Afghanistan and Kosovo. And I mean, been for a lot of years, and came back and wanted to just go in a different direction with the multimedia, you know, aspects of everything. And he goes to NWTC, but he was talking about the programs as far as like, you know, you get paid and you get, you know, he said there, and so many people don't really know it. They don't understand the great benefits education-wise that are out there for veterans.
Absolutely. Right. And if he's under post 9/11, which it sounds like he might be, they pay for all of your tuition, your fees, your seg fees. And then they do get a monthly stipend on top of that, depending on their enrollment, you know, based on half-time to full-time.
See, I think that's phenomenal.
It is.
And the people you deal with who have served, they may have some challenges that other people don't. And you work with that as well. Just talking a little bit about PSDD, the disabilities.
Yes, absolutely. So we have a great health and wellness department, accessibility, disability. I work with the county VA, and I will, in certain circumstances, connect with the VA hospital as well. There's a lot of things that go on with service-connected disabilities and health-related issues.
And you know the thing that I found over there just in dealing with you guys over the years is you guys have a good setup for just even veterans that don't know one another to just sit around and talk and get together in those little groups. And just, you know, sometimes that's the best, you know, for lack of better words, therapy sometimes is just sitting in a casual situation with no pressure, veteran to veteran, who are both students now and have been through some of the same experiences.
Right, Nicole, you have a dedicated veterans lounge, don't you?
Yes, we do. So that was sponsored by Karen and Craig Dickman. And that was established with Elena when she was, you know, veteran services coordinator. So when they come to campus, anybody under military benefit, doesn't matter if they are the veteran, if they're active duty, if they're the dependent spouse or child, they have access to the space where they can go. And it's a safe space. They have, you know, they like to connect to other military members. And that space is for them. And it's, you know, they have free printing, computers to use, study tables. So we've really made it a great space for them. So what I did is we just had the space in Green Bay, and then I established a space at each of our other campuses. So Sheboygan, Manitowoc, and Marinette now all have veteran lounges.
That's awesome.
That's great. That's great. What are you doing? getting the word out, and I think John's right about that. I've had a couple of veterans as students that I taught, and they're very grateful. But getting the word out, I think, can be a challenge. And it's just a great program, like you just talked about. They've got you help with tutoring as well.
Yes. So we have student services department that will help with tutoring. So when I counsel any student and we start to talk, we connect, you know, health, you know, physical and mental health issues, academics, anything that they want to talk to me about. If they need a resource, I can connect them with the right people to be successful in their academic career.
And I think veterans need to know, with someone like you, they don't have to be afraid to return to school. Maybe they have a disability, a hearing, or they're traumatic. They're still like, I'm not really over this yet. I think that's where you come in.
Right. And that's why we have all of these programs in place. And it's to help them. It's to make them successful. It's to encourage them. So when they come to UWGB, we are going to do our best to make them successful and to get that degree and to be, you know, be able to take a test in the right circumstances. Right. You know, they deal with PTSD, headaches, light sensitivity. In some cases, there are reading, you know, disabilities with reading, or it runs the gamut.
Traumatic brain. So many guys and women have traumatic brain injury, and there's no outward signs whatsoever. And it wasn't like one big thing, but like when we're talking about BJ Gannon, we had on there, you got, as they say, got blown up, basically meaning being, you know, not like they got everything blown off them, but they were in a situation where the concussion of the explosion did hit them. And that's where the traumatic brain injuries come from after that. I mean, it happened to him 13 times before eventually lost his leg. He has his leg blown off, but 13 times. So how do you not have traumatic brain injury from being around that many times? And again, there are no outward signs whatsoever.
Right.
But we had a guy, another thing that happens sometimes, when I used to get the box, and Ted Thompson from the Packers would give us his private box for the games for veterans, okay? And there was more than one time when the guys would say, hey, could we open the door? I said, oh, is it hot in here? I said, we can open the door. He goes, no, I can't be enclosed with this many people.
Right. And those are circumstances where we examine, because when you're in a closed space in a classroom with, you know, 30, 40, maybe 100 other people, depending on the class size, that can cause right there, stimulate a lot of anxiety.
Yep.
So that's where we come in, and we take action to help the student.
And, you know, it's so great that you guys are aware of this now, because I read every Vietnam book I possibly can. I'm working on a book on Vietnam and a podcast and everything like that. And so many of these people that just wanted to come back from, went through hell in Vietnam, they come back and they just want to get their education, just want to be a college student. And it was so hard for them sitting in some of those classes. And in those days, a lot of the professors, no matter what they taught, you know, they're all against the war, which is, that's their God-given right to do. But they're sitting in these classes feeling kind of trapped away from the outlet with these people and criticizing they're keeping their mouths shut. But they said they walked out of some of those classes just like sweating and angry, and you know, they thought this would be therapeutic going back to class, and it made it worse.
Right.
Because nobody was aware of those things. And thank God you guys are now so aware of that for these younger veterans.
Well, and we work with a lot of our faculty and staff on educating them. In certain circumstances, they will come to me and say, you know what, I've got this student, this is going on. And that's where we kind of start to analyze, you know, what's happening and how we can help them. So we have a great cross collaboration unit across campus where we work together and communicate, because a lot of it is just education. And especially if you have a faculty or staff member that is not familiar with the military, or they aren't familiar with anyone that served, or even the child or the spouse of a member that served, they can have separate issues of their own. So we try to address everything and work together to make them successful.
And I think people might think, I can't go back to college. I mean, are you kidding? Those little rooms or the bright lights just freak me out. You've addressed pretty much everything, it sounds like, you know,
right.
And So I hope people who are listening, it's like, look, you know, dad or whatever, your brother, you've talked about it. I mean, UWGB is the place to go because they'll work with some of your anxieties.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Light sensitivity,
right.
Hearing loss. And hearing loss is a big one. That's a majority of service members will come out with hearing loss of some way, shape, or form, to some degree. So that's a huge one. So, you know, depending on what the issue is, mental or physical health, we will address it and help them through it.
You know, another thing, I know this isn't in your realm, but you were obviously married into the military life, basically.
Yes, yes.
For a long, long time. You
yes.
saw everything. You know, another thing that nobody ever talks about, and hopefully, you know, it's been long enough now that maybe this and that, but boy, there were so many marital problems that came out from these wonderful young people when they'd go away and mom and the kids maybe are at home and he's away and that connection. And there's those beautiful scenes at airports where, you know, mm-hmm. the whole thing, but nobody sees the next steps at times, do they?
Right. So, you know, I was married to a service member for over 20 years. And there are such great things that come from being in the service, you know, and these great experiences. But at the same time, they're deployed and their experiences while they're deployed are very impactful. And, you know, they can be in a positive way, but they can also be in a negative way, as we all know. And then they're coming home after being deployed for 12 months, 18 months, and then trying to reacclimate to being in a normal civilian life with their family and interacting with friends after being in a war zone. So that transition is, you know, it's tough, and it's tough on families.
We get set up. I want to keep you around for this next segment. I think this is something really, really important to talk about, and it's something that nobody's really ever talked about because, again, the media, we all like those low-hanging fruit stories and all at the airport, oh, they're hugging and their life is now blissful. They don't see what happens down the road because of the two experiences. I want to talk more about that if that's okay.
Okay, sure.
All right, we're the Nicole Stockman, Veteran Service Coordinator. My name is the Mayor. Back after this. Good Friday morning. Once again, 29 in Green Bay, 34 now in Appleton, 31 in Oshkosh. This segment brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. If you've been waiting to replace broken windows and doors, or you want to revitalize your home with a new look, now's the time to get it done. Because now until March 31st, 0% interest after 3 years at Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Give them a call. Have them check out what you're trying to get done. Trust me, the installation will be completed with no mess, no hassle, nothing but perfect results. Order by March 31st to get zero interest up to 3 years. Check it out, PellaWI.com. Certain restrictions do apply. We're with Nicole Stockman from the Veteran Services Coordinator office at UW Green Bay. And we were talking about one of those things about when the returning servicemen come back. And one of the things that this is a unique story, just to tell you about something with my Vietnam vets. One of the gentlemen was a prisoner of war for 5 years. He was single, okay, when that happened. And he said the single guys came back. Life was great. They loved it. They're, you know, everything was good. The married guys ended up getting lots of divorces. And the reason was because the guys, you know, they leave America and they go away for a while. And they just assume as soon as they come back, it's going to be exactly the way everything was when they weren't, or maybe, you know, when before they deployed,
right.
And it's not the case, and things just change. And I'm not saying in a bad way for, but it's just they've had to be the person running a household and everything like that,
right?
And so go ahead and talk about that a little bit, which has led to some problems.
And you know, this is a completely unique circumstance for a spouse and children
exactly.
of a veteran. So when they're deployed, I'll give you an example. We were in Germany, and James was deployed to Japan. So okay. our ongoing station was going to be Japan after Germany, and he was going straight to an aircraft carrier for a year. So I said to myself, you know what? Instead of moving the dogs and James, and I'm going to stay in Germany for a year. So they signed all the papers. I stayed there. He was on the aircraft carrier. So we're in Germany for a year. And then I pack up all of our household goods, you know, have 2 70-pound dogs I have to crate, 4 huge suitcases, an 18-month-old. And I get everything packed. We go stay in a hotel, get everybody on a plane, and take a plane from Frankfurt to Seattle, Seattle to Yokosuka. You know, so you have this entirely different life that's going on for a year, and you're taking care of the house. And in this case, we were in a different country, go to Japan, and he comes back, and he was only back for 3 weeks just to get our house all set. So we flew in, you know, we're jet lagged going from Germany to Japan, see him for a week, move into this new place of ours in, you know, Yokosuka, and then he's back on the aircraft carrier. So it's in a lot of cases, it's a whirlwind. And hadn't seen him in a year, got to see him for 3 weeks, and you're just preoccupied by all of these things going on. It's fast paced, and you know, it's a huge transition.
The stress factor.
Right, right. And it's a lot, right. It's a lot for them being deployed.
Yep.
You know, whatever their deployment is on an aircraft carrier overseas, you know, in the Middle East, whatever it is. And then this on the spouse's side, they're taking care of the home. They're moving furniture. They're, you know, everything was shipped by boat. So you're coordinating, okay, I have to ship my car from Germany to Japan, or, you know, you have to sell your car and then buy one, you know, depending on whatever the circumstances are. There's a lot of logistics to it.
And that's one of those things not many people talk about or know about that just applies stretch. It might be, and a lot of times people get married, you know, before, you know, it's not like a 4-year courtship or whatever. Sometimes they've met fairly quickly. And then
right.
That happens so often too, doesn't it?
So that wasn't my case. We met in college here. So okay. We were together 3 years before.
And that's perfect.
Then he came home one day and said, I'm going into the service. And I, you know, oh, great. You know, that sounds wonderful.
Oh, I don't think my life will change at all.
Yeah, well, I had and in fact, ignorance is bliss sometimes. I had no knowledge of the military, didn't know anyone in the military. I said, oh, this sounds awesome. You know, going to support you. And I did, you know, he's had a wonderful career. But
that is a factor.
It is.
Which leads to issues. And
So these service members that meet these women and, you know, they fall in love and it's a whirlwind. And it is just like I was talking about before, it's fast paced. They've only got so much time. They're in port for so much time. They meet someone, they fall in love, they get married. And then, you know, down the road, you know, they only knew each other a couple months or 3 months.
I can know of so many stories like that. It's incredible that, and then with the stress that gets involved and the guys coming back, they've got stress they're carrying with them from there. And now the stress of it sounds like people say, oh, well, they should just suck it up. No, trust me. It gets so stressful in your life. It's incredible. And I've seen the effects on both the spouses of both sides. And it happens the opposite way, too, where I know guys whose wives were deployed and how tough that was on them.
Right, right, right. And, you know, I know with the Navy, they've gotten a lot better, especially if 2 service members are married. They will keep them together at different stations when they're going on to different ports.
So, Nicole, thank God we got someone like you who's lived it. Right. Because they come in, I'm sure they share stories with you confidentially, and you want to get them back enrolled in the university system. And you understand what they've gone through, everything from relocating to coming back. And wait a minute, I'm not in charge anymore because the spouse has been kind of running the house. And with that, I'm sure you work through a lot of that counseling or dialogue, I should say, and then find what their issues are, if they have any, and get them enrolled in your school. I want to move to the Team One that's coming up.
Oh, Team One Mile. Yeah. Yes.
Because we're running out of time a little bit. So we've got 2 minutes. Tell me about
no problem.
That.
So Team One Mile will be coming through. They are biking 700 miles. So I just had a meeting with Mike Campbell yesterday. So this is all new information for me. So they're going to be biking 700 miles, starting in Milwaukee, going through Madison. And then they have focused on the UW schools here. So they're going to be going through Milwaukee, Madison, La Crosse, Eau Claire, Stevens Point, and then back through Green Bay and Manitowoc to create awareness for our veterans. They have...
Now that's a great idea.
It's fantastic. So it's a mix. It's a mix of a couple prior Packer players. Don Mikowski's on the team.
I think Don Davey.
Don Davey.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And then they have a couple of Olympians, and then they have some veterans and civilians on awesome. The team.
Can we participate in that? Do we meet them when they come to the universities, or is this just a bunch of guys bringing awareness to the university system by biking 700 miles?
They are just bringing awareness. And actually, they aren't going to be on the campus. We're helping support them.
All right.
So just like UW-Claire, UW-Stevens Point, they're providing support. They are actually going to be down here on Washington Street.
Oh, that'll be awesome. We'll be down here to greet them.
Yes. Yeah,
absolutely.
Outstanding. Nicole Stockman, Veterans Services Coordinator for UW-Green Bay. You're off the hook. You don't have to play. Are you smarter than a former mayor? We're going to leave that to Mark Cuban.
I would have taken you down, Jim.
I know.
I love Nicole. It.
We want to have you back whenever you want to talk about some of these great things you're doing for veterans. Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I'm going to go study.
Yeah, you better. Mark Houston, Bell and Sports Medicine, come up when we come back. Mino and the Mayor, back after this. I hate you,